Hey everybody, welcome to episode 20 of Strength Academy. Today we're going to be doing a year in review, talking about the highs and lows in our personal lives and training from the last year, and we're going to begin our discussion of the absurd that'll be continued next week.
Welcome everybody to the 20th episode of the Strength Academy podcast. This is Mundo here. Once again, I'm joined by Grayson.
How's it going, everybody?
And today we are going to do a recap of the year 2018. Since this is the end of the year, it's close to the, just past the 1 year anniversary for us as far as the gym goes. And just a couple of things that we've experienced throughout the year. And maybe finish up with a little bit of discussion on absurdity with an introduction to an idea that we both kind of delved into and that we hope that you will find fascinating as much as we do.
Yeah, so I think, looking back at the year, obviously one of the biggest changes was starting this business, you know, getting the gym up and running, learning how to file our taxes and just kind of run things on our own. And that's been, I'd say that's been one of the high points of the year, has been really getting to kind of take the vision that we had for how we wanted this gym to be and really try to put that into effect. And, you know, we've had trial and error, you know, with payment systems, or how are we going to structure programs, or how are we going to structure training times and hours and access. But I think that, you know, man, I can't even begin to list the things that we've had to learn on the fly to get this stuff open.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just so crazy to me to think that, you know, a year ago, you know, just over a year ago, we were applying for a business license in a cafe. Yeah. You're just like trying to figure out how to set this sort of stuff up. And it's, I honestly can't believe it's only been a year.
I think the American Open Finals was officially a year for us as far as like being a gym and all that. But we went from basically not being complete strangers, but just kind of knowing each other more or less on like an acquaintance type basis, to having to learn a lot about each other's quirks and things like that. And that's been, you know, challenging for both of us, because I know Grayson and I have some different tendencies in our personalities and the way we want to structure things and look at things from a logistical standpoint. But one thing that we do agree on, and it's a pretty solid foundation, is the way we want to see the weightlifters progress, the technique, the emphasis on doing things correctly, and you know, pushing them in new ways and testing their limits. Grayson's a little more experimental than I am, and I appreciate that, because I have a tendency to kind of just like go with what works. You know, it's worked in the past, why not keep doing it that way? But Grayson brings like an innovative approach to some training methodologies, and still obviously tying in, you know, weightlifting. Obviously it's going to be the snatch and the clean and jerk, but maybe new ways of approaching building motor patterns and muscular strengths and fixing deficiencies and things like that. So Grayson's been a fantastic person to learn from in those areas, and sometimes he gives me the the reminder that I need to just chill out sometimes. I have a tendency to stress and worry about things that shouldn't necessarily be worried about. You know, they're not always in our control, but he's pretty good at reminding me. It's like, maybe this isn't as important as I thought, or, you know, if we need to address this, we will. And the business has been doing well, and I'm thankful for that and grateful that he's been, you know, an excellent business partner to continue to have on this journey with. And I think overall through the year, we've done quite a few meets. We've learned how to work with each other in the back very well. We have a system of, you know, running the cards and checking up on the lifters and double checking each other's counts and things like that. And I have a great amount of trust in him as a coach, and I've, you know, asked him to continually tweak my programming and things like that. And I'll get into later about how some of the stuff went leading up to Masters Worlds and Masters Nationals, and then finally like after that. But yeah, it's been an interesting year for sure for me, and I know it's been quite a year for Grayson as well.
Yeah, I think the point you brought up there was, you know, that we really, you know, we had really only interacted as, you know, just lifting weights together and occasionally going to meets, but you know, as far as times that we've actually been sitting down and talking and being interested in things, we've really, I think, lucked out in our setup a lot. And I'm really grateful that we've been, you know, it's been kind of exactly what I think we need in that setup, in that, like you said, like we have kind of, we're both kind of on different ends as far on, I don't know if you'd call it the organization, disorganization spectrum. And I think that that's really important, because what you were saying is, you know, it's like, oh, maybe sometimes I don't need to worry about these things. But I'm on the total other end where it's like, no, sometimes I need to worry about these things. So I think that we keep each other accountable when, you know, either we're being too focused on one thing or letting something slide or procrastinating something. Like, I think we've got a really good balance of that and keeping our communication really open. I know that one of the things that we've really been working on as like a business partnership is having extremely open lines of communication and not letting anything that needs to be addressed go unaddressed. I think we've done a really good job of keeping those lines open with between us and with our athletes, getting feedback on what we need, like what they feel like needs to be at the gym or if there's something going on.
Right.
And I'm just really happy with how that's ended up working out. And, you know, I think that, I don't know, building this together has really kind of been the bedrock of our friendship, which is great. And yeah. I'm really happy with that as well.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of like, it's an experience, an opportunity for growth. And in multiple ways, both as an athlete and coach, but also as a person. I've had to go outside of my comfort zone and do things that I wasn't really familiar with. And, I have a tendency to kind of just depend on myself most of the time. So having the ability to depend on Grayson or, you know, needing to depend on him for, certain tasks and things to be done has been a challenge that I've had to overcome on a from a personal standpoint. And, I will say this, being like having a business partnership is a lot like being married. And I think that open communication and sometimes being upfront about kind of like what you want or what you don't want, or some things that you know, need to be very, have the ability to communicate about is very important to continue to make things to progress. And speaking of getting married, that was one of the big things for you this past year, wasn't it, Grayson?
Yeah, no, that was definitely one of the absolute highs. Michaela and I are engaged and we'll be married at the end of February. So that's something to look forward to right off the bat in the next year. But yeah, I mean, that personal relationship has really kind of kept me grounded with the chaos of having to both work at the brewery and run the gym. You know, the challenges of this year has been just kind of feeling like constant work, but that relationship has just really helped kind of keep me happy and focused and kind of grounded when things do kind of start to feel overwhelming, which I know both of us have kind of spent with that. Both of us spent the year starting off, we were both in school, Mundo's still driving on with that. And I think this year's been an exercise in, you know, forcing us to try to find some modicum of balance, because it does take a lot of work to get things up and running. And even when you love the work, you still get tired.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes, yeah, of course.
And I think that, you know, that the relationship with my fiance has really helped kind of bring down some of that external stress. So that's definitely been like one of the absolute high points of this year for me in my personal life as well with the gym. this year, I also, you know, for my personal training, I had both some of the best and some of the worst training of my career this year. I had some really great training going up towards American Open Series 3. I got a PR competition total at that meet. That was really great. But then I also have had, you know, just I think probably being stressed, and I've lost a couple of friends this year, and my dog left, and, you know, all those sort of things. So I've had, you know, sometimes, like, or it's just been really tough to get to the gym, and I miss a few weeks and backslide on my mobility. So there's been, you know, that double-edged sword where, you know, there's that, you know, high point of, you know, hitting exactly what you want and having a great training cycle or a great few months, and then kind of battling off, like, lack of motivation or, you know, just feeling too kind of run down to really put your full energy into the lifts.
Yeah.
And so it's been kind of an interesting year in that I've had, you know, the best feelings in weightlifting, which is that I'm obsessed and ready to get to the gym and I'm looking forward to it and everything feels good and is going well. And then those days where you come in and you can't overhead squat without rounding your back and everything hurts and you're just tired. So I've definitely had, you know, highs and lows within training, but I'm excited for the next year. We had a lot of really great performances at meets. We got a lot of people out. I think AO3 as a gym, from a gym standpoint, that was probably one of the gym's highlights of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing out so many people to AO3, having such a good time, and, you know, just seeing all of these people just hit PRs on the platform or, you know, lift on that stage for the first time. That was a really, really awesome thing to see. And I'm really looking forward to doing a lot more of those in the coming year for sure.
Yeah, I think we brought 14 people to AO3, 14 lifters.
Yeah, yeah. Us included.
Yeah, well, yeah, ourselves included. Both Grace and I lifted at AO3. And that was probably the highlight of the year for the gym. Getting that many people qualified and then getting them to go to the competition.
Yep.
Was definitely a PR.
You took home a medal from that competition?
Oh, that's right. I competed in the 67 Masters category, and I took home a bronze medal in that one. And I went 5 for 6.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good meet. I really was happy with that whole experience. Everybody did really well. I couldn't have asked for a better experience in Las Vegas, like, as far as, like, the venue, the lifters, the environment, like, the energy. It was really good overall. Compared to the AO finals, like, I think everybody was more cordial and less, like crabby back there. AO finals was a little bit, like, there was some people that were getting pretty worked up over some weird stuff, but... We went to University Nationals in Ogden. Ogden was crappy from a logistical standpoint. That was probably one of my least favorite meets, like, as far as, like, logistics goes as a venue.
It is hard because the hotel's so far from the training center, and then we stayed at an Airbnb, which meant we had to be driving back and forth between meetings at the hotel and at the center. But I really like Ogden as a town.
It's
a really cool spot, and it's a thing that I would ever would have been like, oh, I'm going to go to Ogden, Utah. It's like, no, that was actually kind of a nice,
yeah, no, a Ogden, nice, Ogden a nice place was good. Like, I liked Ogden, but it's just the logistics of the way the venue was set up wasn't very good. The meet went really well. Robin almost got a medal out of that. She had needed to make a final clean and jerk, and she was just 1 kilo shy of a podium spot for that clean and jerk medal. But that was a really good meet for her. And then throughout the year, we've had people break records, not only in the old weight classes, but in the new weight classes. They're starting to break records or set new ones. And for myself, I went to Masters Nationals in, I think it was March? And that was in Buffalo, New York. And Buffalo was all right. I'd never been to New York before. And Buffalo was like right on the border between Canada and, well, obviously it's part of the United States, but it borders on Canada as well. So I got to see Niagara Falls, and that was cool. But getting to see some of the other masters lifters, like some of the guys that are lifting well into their 50s and 60s and putting up some legit weights, was impressive for me to see. It kind of gives me hope that, oh, you can keep doing this well into, you know, whatever, you know, years you want to keep putting into it, you can. And that was a good push for me. I didn't have the best meet. I ended up missing a podium spot by 1 kilo on that one myself, for a third place finish, but I still managed to qualify for Worlds. And after my performance at Masters Nationals, Grayson helped me put together a plan to put some good lifts together for Worlds and compete as a 69 for the last time as a master. And I went to Barcelona and I hit one of my best totals as a 69, and I was I don't know, that was a great experience too. Like, I had a good time out there. It was awesome to compete against people from all over the world. And I know some people don't consider it, you know, masters weightlifting to be, you know, real weightlifting, but I thought it was cool to be able to lift with people from France and Japan and Taiwan and you know, some of the other countries that participated. But I had a fantastic experience there. And then afterward, I competed at AO3, and AO3 was an amazing experience. Like I said, I got a third place finish in the 67 masters category for the men. But soon after getting back, I was starting up the new training cycle. I was starting to get strong, trying to bulk up to that 73 weight class, and I ended up getting really sick. I didn't know what was going on, but I ended up losing almost 20 pounds of muscle, because I went from 73 kilos, because I had actually made it up to 73 kilos, and I got down to 61 in roughly a month, and I was in really bad shape. I had jaundice, and I lost my appetite, and I thought I was like done for, and the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong. Kept doing blood tests, and everything was coming back with nothing. So eventually I did get a diagnosis. It came back like this past week. It was like primary biliary cirrhosis of the liver from a medication that I had been on. And as soon as I had been taken off the medication, I started to get better. But the doctors were like, no supplements, you know, we're going to switch this medication, we're going to give you some other stuff, but it's clearing up and I'll be able to make a full recovery. But that set me back a lot. I just resumed training after a month of almost being off. And it's been really hard. It's been difficult. It's something that I didn't anticipate. You know, I was hoping to move up to the next weight class and be stronger and carry what I had already had on my repertoire as far as numbers go to push those up in the 73 category. But instead, I had a huge setback, and it's been disappointing. It's been a challenge. But I've watched some of the other people in the gym kind of work through their own challenges. Michaela, Grayson's fiance, she had an injury earlier in the year, and she didn't even get to compete in AO Series 3, and that's something that she was hoping for. And I've watched her kind of deal with her injury and her setback, and she's been a trooper about it. And I think like, her example has kind of been a good motivator for me to be like, you know what, you can't just give up. You lost a lot of ground, yes, but there's a way to get back. There's a way to keep moving. There's a way to continue to improve, and I'm gonna do that. I'm back up to like 63 kilos now, and I'm starting to get better. I'll make a full recovery. My medications are back on. You know, I'm back on track with those, and yeah, so I just hope that I'll be able to make a return, hopefully to Worlds in 2020 for Germany, but I probably won't compete this year. The totals are just too high for where I'm at right now. But I'll still probably be able to compete at Masters Nationals in Salt Lake City. But that was like a huge setback for me for 2018. And I'll probably go into 2019 just trying to build from, not from scratch, but, you know, from a pretty low base.
Well, and you know, like that run-in you had there, like I can imagine, you know, with a lot of the stuff that we do talk about, which is kind of like, well, what is it that you really want to be doing? And we've kind of really talked about a lot on this podcast, just kind of what do you want out of what we're kind of working on? And that goes for everybody, but I'm sure that, you know, that gave you, I know that you kept journaling all throughout that. You kind of did your stoic observation journaling,
yeah.
Is that what
it
is?
Yeah, it's more like like stoic journaling, like observation, like self-reflection, like stoic self-reflection.
So I guess, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is like, yeah, I mean, being distressed about not being able to train the way that you want to or not knowing what's going on, but that uncertainty that you're kind of left with there, like what, you know, did that kind of cause you to reflect on anything, you know, not weightlifting related? Like what sort of, like, where did you kind of land after having to deal with, you know, not knowing what's going on and kind of being out of control of yourself?
Well, I would think about a lot about what I was doing with my time, like what I was considering valuable, and I did get to a point where I was like, well, what if this is it? Like, what if I don't have that much time left? What if I, you know, my liver is failing and I'm gonna need a transplant, or if I can't get one, you know, this is some kind of disease that's going to have me, you know, completely descending into my final days. And a lot of that self-reflection ended up turning into, you know, can you control what's happening to you right now? No. And anything that I did have control over, I was already doing. Like, I had gotten off those things that were causing the problems, and trying to get, you know, healthy again. But it ended up being, am I doing what I want to do? And that's the question. It's like, what if I only had this amount of time left, was I doing the things that I wanted to be doing? And, you know, what was important? What wasn't important? Who was important? Like, who wasn't important? Like, a lot of time, I couldn't even look at Instagram anymore because it just seemed like a waste of time. It just seemed, and Instagram is one of those things where people are always putting the highlights of their life on there, and sometimes they'll share some occasional, you know, non-bright, glamorous spots. But for the most part, it's everybody's victories. It's their good moments, their happy moments. And for me, I would look at that stuff and I'd say, well, how important is this really? You know, not that I'm not happy for those people and I'm not excited when they're excited about whatever's going on in their life, but it really wasn't adding any value to my existence. Like, the amount of time that I had left, is that what I want to be spending my time on? And I kind of got back to the notion that a lot of the time we spend our days doing things just because it's routine. Nothing's wrong with routine. Routine is a good place to be because, you know, it helps you stay consistent, it helps you stay disciplined. But there's also a point where you have to look at your life and say, is this all there is? Is this all I want it to be? And if it's just paying bills and coloring inside the lines and waiting for the perfect time and perfect opportunity for something to happen, you know, why are you waiting? Like, what are you waiting for? Like, how much more is today worth than tomorrow? Or how much more is tomorrow worth than today?
Well, I think that might be the difference between like a routine and a rut, you know, where a routine can be, you know, you can factor a routine into, you know, getting to be doing more of the things that you want to spend your time doing. Right. And is, you know, but I think, you know, what you're saying is, you know, getting caught in a loop.
Right.
Is, maybe it's when it's accidental. When you realize that you've just been doing the same thing instead of choosing to.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And that's what a rut is. It's like digging that hole, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a trench, and you look back and you're just deeper in the trench. You didn't want to be, like, that's not something you were trying to accomplish. You just happen to keep doing it. It's like a mindless exercise. And I think you're absolutely right. There's a difference between choosing to do something and being routine about it, and then actually just falling into it like a hamster wheel, because that's, you know, where you ended up, because you weren't being reflective about what you were doing and purposeful about how you were spending your time. And I think, so if there's one thing that I've learned from 2018 for sure, is that don't wait. Like, if you want to take a trip, if you've always, you know, wanted to go to Spain, go to Spain, find a way to do it. If you want to pick up, you know, a new hobby, you want to learn to draw, you want to play an instrument, you know, do it. Just start. You know, we talked about goals. Don't wait till the first of the year. Don't say, oh, well, I'll sign up for classes. Learn when the classes are starting and sign up for them now. You want to take music lessons, sign up for them now. Like, don't wait. There was a movie, I think it was The Death of a Salesman, but it has Will Ferrell in it. And he finds out he's dying. He's like a tax guy. And he finds out he's dying. And, you know, one of the things he's always wanted to do was learn to play guitar. So one of the first things he does is when he finds out he's dying, is he goes to a music store, buys, you know, Fender Stratocaster, and starts learning to play one of the, you know, the songs. And he starts doing it. But why does it have to be those moments where you find out that you don't have that much time left? Why does it have to be those moments that push you to do something that you should have been trying to do to begin with? And that's the difference of choosing to live your life in a habitual way, as opposed to just living it in a habitual way because you're not being mindful of where or what you want to do. So if there's anything that I can offer, and what I've learned throughout 2018, is just, like, if you want to do something, just do it. Figure out a way. A lot of people don't travel because there's no money, no time, and work, right? Those are the top three excuses. Like, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, and, you know, what about work? But if this is the only life you get, this is the only opportunity you get to do the things that you want to do, when is it going to be time to do those things? Like, when is the perfect time? When is the perfect time to have a kid? When is the perfect time to get married?
Yeah.
There's really not. So I think for me, 2018 was a reminder, if I want to do something, if I want to accomplish something, if I want to learn something, don't wait. Just figure out a way to do it.
Well, and I think that's something that, you know, we both kind of worked on this year, and just kind of, like, I know, you know, the apprehension or fear of, it's like, well, I kind of want to open this gym. Mm. But that in itself is terrifying. And just being able to be like, no, I mean, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it?
Right, yeah.
Or, you know, I know that at first we were kind of apprehensive about starting a podcast. We were like, oh man, I don't know if, like, we're going to be able to fill an hour every week, or what are we going to do? And you know, just taking that first step and just doing it,
yeah,
making it a thing that we're intentionally doing every week. I think if there was a theme for 2018, it was, you know, just going after it, and, you know, not letting yourself be scared off for chasing down the things that you want to do. I think in the next year, I'm excited to keep things growing at the gym, keep things moving on. I know that I want to maybe try to get more people out to some more local meets this year, kind of start really, you know, pushing our members to get out there and compete on the local level, and, you know, try to network with some other clubs in town. I'd like to see if we can, put on a meet this year, if we can find a way to, you know, either secure a venue or do some sort of partnership with another gym or a business and run a meet there. I think that's something that I want to work towards in the next year. I know that for me personally, I want to work towards getting together another good total for AO2 when we have that here in Albuquerque. And, you know, really just be able to wholeheartedly dive into making the gym the primary focus. So, you know, I want to, in the next year, leave the brewery, and as scary as it is to just kind of take that step into the gym in the mornings as well, it's you know, one of the things that I've learned from, you know, the experience of setting things up this year and just getting the ball rolling is that if you're sort of scared of the decision, it's probably gonna be the right one.
Unfortunately. And,
you know, if it the more you are kind of worried about, it's like, oh man, but what if this and what if that, like, that for me was kind of like the indicator. It's like, well, how I feel, the apprehension I feel towards just really going all in is the same apprehension I had to start the thing in the first place. Right. And if that's the same feeling, then you just have to roll with it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's been really cool. I'm excited to, you know, keep our athletes focused on getting the fundamentals down really well, but trying new strategies for injury prevention or greater work capacity, and putting a lot of emphasis on GPP and making sure people are not just lifting their best, but feeling good outside of the gym too.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think that those are a few of the things that I'm looking forward to getting a leg up on in the next year. You know, helping you get back to filling out 73 and, you know, getting back into some competitions there. I think, I don't know, man, I'm really excited for 2019. I think we're ending on a pretty good note, and I'd just like to keep things rolling as we go forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm excited for 2019 for the gym and for the athletes. For the gym, I want to continue to, like you said, get them to local meets, get them competing more, get them more interested in, you know, pushing themselves. We have a variety of people in different occupations that kind of push them to their limits as far as like mobility and things like that. Some people have jobs that kind of inherently go against the grain of weightlifting positions. So those are challenges that I look forward to helping you address in those athletes. And there's a lot of things going on this next year that are going to be pretty awesome. Number one being AO2 happening here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that's going to be a hometown meet for us. We don't have to travel, we don't have to fly anywhere, we can sleep in our own beds, get up and go lift, and we're going to try to bring as many people as we can to that meet. And if there's Albuquerque lifters or anybody in the surrounding area that, you know, needs help, you can reach out to us if you need somebody to help run cards at that level of meet. I know there's some people that probably want to compete, and it'll probably be their first AO series. So, you know, reach out to us if you want some help. And I know Joaquin Chavez is one of the coordinators for the event. And, you know, he's probably going to need some help with finding loaders and things like that. So even if you're not interested in weightlifting yourself, maybe you can help load or volunteer for various duties that have going on. Just show the greater part of the weightlifting community that Albuquerque has a lot to offer, and that we can put on a really well-run meet. So that's a highlight for me for 2019. Like I said, Masters Nationals is coming up, and I'm going to work with Grayson to try to get back up to some decent numbers to, you know, have a good competition there. I'm not looking for anything specific other than to just be able to compete again. And beyond that, just helping our lifters get the best they can out of their experiences and their bodies. In 2019, we have some athletes competing at University Nationals. We have Senior Nationals coming up, and that's going to be in Memphis, which, yep, I'm looking forward to that one.
That'll be fun.
And then, you know, some of the more advanced competitions in later in the year again, in the finals for the AO series or the AO finals. And yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot going on next year, and we'll hope to keep rolling with the punches and continue learning and growing from our experiences and helping our athletes learn and grow from their experiences as well. We've got some new people. We've had some people leave us, you know, and, you know, we learned something from everybody. Everybody provided us with a lesson in one way or another, and it's been a fantastic year, and I'm looking forward to continue in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely, every year that I've been doing this, it's, you look back and you go, oh wow, I've definitely, you know, changed the way that I think about how to integrate accessory work or the importance of cardio or these sort of things. And, you know, looking at, you know, it, and it is exactly what you said. It's every interaction that we have with an athlete is a learning experience for us. And, you know, it's that, you know, we're never going to say that we know everything.
No.
And we are never going to say that we have a solidified way of doing things, because there's always something to learn, and you just have to be paying attention to it, you know? And, I think that's one of my always goals, is to never, you know, let myself get complacent with what I think I know.
Right.
And troubleshooting and solving problems for athletes is, you know, just, well, for me, like, it's just so interesting. Like, I find the, you know, how do you structure a program to result in a physical change in technique or strength or position? And all of those are just little pieces of puzzle that you got to piece together for everybody is really different.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, you know, to the jobs that people have, you know, these sort of things, like learning how to adjust those things to make sure that the program is going to be working the best for that person. And I just really look forward to learning lessons and keep trying to refine what we're doing and broaden our base of knowledge. And
yeah,
it's going to be really good, man. I'm really looking forward to the next year, and I hope that everybody at the gym's been feeling good in their new home officially all year. And, it's been a good one, man. It's been a good one.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited and, humbled and scared all at the same time.
And I think that's, you know, the position, you know, if you're really doing things outside your comfort zone and you're, you know, taking charge of what you're doing, it's gonna feel like that for sure. For sure.
All right. So that's kind of more or less the year in the recap and some things that we're looking forward to. And we want to introduce a topic that we're both kind of delving into, and Grayson's kind of addressed it before. He wrote a blog article about weightlifting and the absurd, and I think that a lot of the time we don't reflect on the absurdity of life in general, and I think this is a good time to start maybe pondering that reflection, because we don't have a tendency to take a real look at things that are going on around us, that the things that we interact with and the people we interact with. And there's a lot of absurdity that surrounds life and existence. And Grayson, I'll let you kind of expand on that topic.
Yeah, so this is kind of a thing that we want to try to do a little bit with the podcast going forward, is we're going to try to do some more interviews, but then we're also going to try doing some things where Mundo and I will kind of read the same article or the same paper or discuss a particular idea. And the format that I want to try to do is introduce the topic and then discuss it on the following episode so that people have a little bit of time to think about it. So, you know, the concept that we're going to kind of talk about for this week and next is the idea of absurdity. And that's just in the, you know, philosophical sense, that's just kind of looking at something and realizing, you know, just a good example is when you first learn about, you know, astrophysics or the structure, you know, like when you first learn that we're one star system in 10 trillion stars in a galaxy that's one of a trillion galaxies. Like that sort of, you know, cosmic level thinking where you just go, so me getting an A in this physics class on the grand scheme of things, is just what is happening. So the absurd can really manifest in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think we've all kind of had those surreal experiences where maybe, you know, you're watching TV and you just suddenly realize, you're just like, so I'm sitting here watching five other people argue about politics across the country, and it's just broadcast into my home. And we take it for granted. We take so many things for granted, yeah. You know, but when you really reflect on how lucky are we to even have the technology to do that? How is it that the universe is structured that you can beam images through fiber optic cables and put them on somewhere else? So, like, absurdity can really, you know, it doesn't have to be a depressing feeling all the time, like, oh, well, my job doesn't really matter in the long run. But it can be something as simple as, you know, really paying attention to, you know, any mundane object. You know, if you sit there and you really just kind of look at a tree, or, you know, hanging out with your cat, and you just start thinking, it's like, what does he think is important? Or, you know, you start to notice, you're just like, when the longer you look at something, the more alien it seems.
Right.
Where, yeah. Like, if you really put all your attention and focus into, you know, like, how is it that we all think that, like, cars are so ubiquitous? Or, you know, how crazy is it that we've taken the need to hunt and gather food and turned that into a Costco?
Right.
Like, and it's just, a Costco is just full of people wanting to spend money on, you know, discounted
less
chairs or,
money.
You know, 40 pounds of pork loin. Like, there's a lot of these kind of moments when you're either kind of like, how did this all end up? How did we all end up being here? And how is it that we, you know, you can look at the roles that we have. You know, I think that it's been a pretty crazy couple of years in politics. And you think, you know, if you take it for granted, you just say, okay, this is the system. But if you take a second to step back and you're like, are we really letting I think Joe Rogan says this a lot. He's like, are we really letting a popularity contest dictate what's going to be the important decisions that, you know, we make as a country?
Right.
You know, these sort of moments where you are just struck with, like, what am I even doing? And, you know, occasionally I'll get that way with lifting weights too. You know, like, you know, that doesn't always make sense. Because if you, you know, you take your step back and you're like, okay, so you're an ape ancestor spending this much time moving inanimate objects around for the sole purpose of dropping them again in the hope that you're going to be more muscular or stronger or faster, without ever really taking a step to, like, look at, like, oh, what? It's just kind of silly. It's crazy. But that's everything.
Right.
You know, everything, when you look at it, you're just like, is this really what I'm spending my time doing? It's like, did I really spend 70 hours watching The Office over the last year? If you watch, like, all the seasons, you know, so there's a lot of these things that we take for granted. And when you start to think, how did it end up like this? Or, you know, so many things is just one guy's idea. You know, what is good art?
Right.
That's just a person's idea.
That's good art, yeah. Exactly.
But, so, and also the drive to create art. That's kind of a crazy thing. What is it that makes somebody want to convey an idea through imagery? Where does that come from in the survival of our species? What is that, you know, tying into? Why does that kind of pop up?
What makes two guys want to start a podcast?
Exactly.
And record it.
And ramble and confuse people with our, you know, disjointed thoughts. But I think that, you know, it's another kind of feeling about it is, I think it's closely tied to the feeling of angst.
Angst, yes.
Where it's the discomfort of not really knowing why you're doing the things that you're doing. Like, what's the real... We always have this feeling that there's got to be a real reason or a real purpose for what we're doing. And whether we that operates as kind of a conscious decision of a belief system or a political alliance that you hold and you focus your thoughts and center around. And, you know, it's kind of what are you building your identity around? And when you really kind of think about it, there's so many things that just kind of don't make sense when you take too long a look at it. And I think one of the reasons that I think angst has a lot to do with it is it's that feeling of discomfort where you're not sure if you're doing the right thing, or you find yourself questioning, like, well, why am I working this job? I don't like it, but you feel like you have to,
right?
You know, and you have the, and that kind of disconnect between feeling and being told that something you're doing is important and that there is purpose to it, and just kind of rationalizing that, well, I mean, does it have any long-lasting significance? You know, is this going to matter when I've been dead for 50 years? And if you look at it from that stance, you're like, well, no, it's not really that important. You know, what people are telling you is the purpose or the meaning of what you're supposed to be doing, whether that's the prestige that you have in your job or the heights of your athletic career or the types of relationships you have with people or just any sort of choice that you have. The fact that you could have always chosen differently is where I think that angst comes from. It's that anxiety of, am I making the right choice? And is this the choice that matters in the long run?
Right.
And realizing that none of it really matters in the long run does two things. It can make you angsty or depressed that, yeah, I mean, there might be no real reason to do any of this. But it can also show you that because none of it really matters in the long run, you're totally and utterly free to do whatever it is that you want. And that doesn't mean that whatever you're doing is going to have a profound impact on the universe, but embracing that fact and just being, well, since it doesn't matter if I'm an accountant or run a tiny gym, then what would you rather be doing?
Yeah, exactly. And I think so. Absurdity falls into a branch of philosophy that stems from existentialism, existential philosophy. Yeah. So it's basically like, how do you attribute meaning and purpose to something, whether it's your life, your goals, your job? Why is it important? And it's basically a look at why does it matter? Does it even matter? And if it doesn't, then you can attribute your own meaning and purpose to something and how much it matters to you and how purposeful it is. So it's a look at breaking down, you know, what it is that you find meaningful and purposeful. And if there's no meaning and purpose in anything, then that means you can find meaning and purpose in everything. And you can define your own purpose and define your own meaning in it. And it's pretty deep. It's something that we can, like I said, we'll delve into it. This is just an introduction.
It's going to take some unpacking.
Yeah, it's going to take some unpacking. And this, we're not going to give you any homework, but one thing that we ourselves are going to do is we're going to read an article. And the article is made by Albert Camus. And it's basically The Myth of Sisyphus. And it's a reasoning of the absurd. And both Grayson and I are going to read it and reread it. I'm probably going to read it more than once because it's, even for me, like, it's a little bit
dense.
But we're also pairing that with listening to another podcast, The Partially Examined Life, and it's about Camus and the absurd as well. So it gives us some extra insight into some of the way that other people have brought their reasoning and approaches to that philosophy. And we hope that we'll be able to provide you with, in the new year, that we'll give you some ideas to think about. I think a lot of the time people don't think about anything. You know, they're just entertaining themselves to death. And we were talking about what it means to be basic. And kind of in a way, being basic means that you don't really think outside the box at all. You just kind of accept whatever's put on the plate and served to you by society, by the media, by your friends and family. You know, why is it that when you go to Christmas dinner, they ask you why you're still single? Like, why does that matter? Like, what is it, you know, you already have two brothers and sisters that gave them grandchildren. Like, why do you have to have the same goal that they do? You know, they ask you why you haven't settled down yet, or, you know, but if you don't ask yourself why that's important, or if that's something that you even want to do, like, then you'll just follow along and be like, oh, well, I'm going to please my parents by doing this. Or let's take it in weightlifting. You're like, you know, my friends are weightlifters, so I guess I need to be a weightlifter too to be able to hang out with them. That's a good reason to start, maybe, but it's not a good reason to keep doing it. You're going to get burnt out. You have to find purpose and meaning in the things that you want to do, and be able to find your own reasoning and why you want to do them. And then hopefully this will help you, give you some ideas to think about. It'll give you some new ways to approach looking at things. You know, Grayson was talking about, you know, if you look at things on the microscopic level, if you're stumbling around in the dark and you stump your toe and you're mad for like 5 minutes, the thing that you stumped your toe on doesn't care. If you were cursing at it for the whole 5 minutes, like, you're just being angry at an inanimate object, and you just wasted 5 minutes of your time and energy. And in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of your life, those 5 seconds, that minute that you stubbed your toe, is going to be just a blip in the history of your existence. But in the grand scheme of things, of existence, your life, that little dash between this date and that date, that's a blip in the entirety of you know, human existence, and in the existence of the universe. So it'll help you maybe take a look at what's more important. And like, we went back to what if you take a look at why you're doing something, or waiting to do something, or saying, you know, there might be a perfect time, but what if there's not? And this will help you take a look at, like, this is what I find purposeful, and this is what I find meaningful, and I'm going to pursue those things. And as long as you're not, you know, Dexter the serial killer, I think that, you know, you're going to be better off for it.
Yeah, so I think what we kind of want to do with this is introduce more detail, and kind of make sure that we're reading the same thing so we can discuss point by point or anything that we particularly find interesting. I think one last thing that we need to preface for next week is just kind of what existentialism kind of really deals with. And that's, you know, so there's kind of two schools of thought, and this is kind of trying to, you know, square those ideas. One is that things or people have a predetermined essence, or, you know, what it is to be like that, you know, what, you know, you could, if you're looking at a person, it could be your disposition towards, you know, your attitude or how you react to things. And, you know, one side claims that, you know, what it is that things have essences, and then those essences come into existence. So what it is to be like something is what that thing is like. And where existentialism differs is it says that the existence of the thing precedes its essence, and that as somebody who exists, you come into existence without a template or a plan or a purpose, and your purpose is to determine what your essence is, because you exist whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But your essence is something that you can choose, or is not predetermined.
Yeah. So basically, we didn't ask to be here, but we can define why we're here.
Exactly. So I look forward to kind of hammering away through some of Camus' ideas and trying to get those straight. This is a thing that I've read a ton of times, and I get something new out of it every time. So I'm looking forward to kind of comparing notes and hopefully bringing you guys some important discussions and just interesting ideas to get you through the week, and tying it a little together with talking about shoulder pressing too.
Yeah. All right. All right. So, a lot to look forward to in the new year. It was not really a somber episode, but a lot of reflection. And we're gonna have some guests coming up, people that have been in the weightlifting game for quite a few years, some people that are athletes that are continuing to rise up in the ranks of weightlifting, and then just some people that we think are interesting, and we'll hopefully throw some philosophical discussions in there, as well as some weightlifting news, tips, and whatever else we can come up with. So we're looking forward to hitting up y'all up with some good stuff in the next coming year, and thank you for hanging out with us for the 20 episodes that we've put out, and if we don't see you,
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Happy lifting, y'all.